Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, we're Sergo, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Wow.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Serco. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yo.
Thanks for having us.
You guys, let's go around the mic and introduce ourselves.
Jake?
Yeah, I'm Jake Doris. I play keys for the band, so, you know, piano, synth, organ, all that kind of stuff.
Can't forget the Rhodes.
Yeah, the Rhodes, all that good stuff. Yeah, that's about it, and I'll pass it off to Jeremy.
Jeremy from St. Charles. I want to clarify that for Jake here. And I play drums in Serco, do a lot of the booking and stuff, and just try to have a good time with these dudes.
Heck yeah, and I'm Jesse. I'm the bass player. I've been playing bass my whole life, and I really like these guys, and we jam. So that's what we do. And other than that, I'm going to have to pass off to Kyle.
All right, and this is Kyle Bicker.
So Kyle, he plays guitar.
He's just the guitar player.
So now you know from both.
Damn!
No, he also writes some good tunes. Like, I liked one of them.
Yeah, Jake and Kyle are the composers of the band, for sure.
Yeah. When Jesse said he played bass all his whole life, I just imagine like a, you know, an infant, like a
John Henry, you know, born with the bass in his hand.
Just come out of the womb with a bass.
You're right.
Well, I wouldn't consider myself human until I was 27. I was an idiot. Like, I was fucking dumb when I was a kid. So I'm just gonna say, like, yeah. Like, I was just born with bass.
But yeah, bass is good.
Yeah, I just wove myself into existence, even though my physical body has been here for a while. You know, that's kind of how I do that.
It's pretty deep, man.
It's magic. That's what it is. I tapped into it. I watched Fantasia when I was too stoned, and ever since then, like I don't just sweep the floor anymore. Like, it sweeps with me. So, like,
Jesse actually took 3 hits of acid before this.
No, I have been a very good boy lately. I've been cleaning up my act, and it shows in our music, man. You can't really perform at a high level if you're always fucked up. But you can use experiences like that to, you know, learn to grow, you know, disassemble yourself from disassembling yourself. It's actually a tattoo that I got. It's kind of like alchemy, you know, like how fire purifies.
Shout out to Benji Wade.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hell yeah. Let's not go on an alchemy tangent because I'm fairly ignorant, but I get it. I dig it.
He's like, and the tattoo was sick.
Yeah. And it makes me feel woke when I'm like totally sleepwalking. So, it's like a balance. It's like a yin and yang. But anyway.
And then there's that. So we pretty much just let him stick to playing bass.
Yeah. Yeah, they call me the wild card, and I think that's like the most accurate thing ever, because some days I'm like extremely aloof, and then the next days I come in, we're like ranting off like some kind of maniac. But you never know.
Yeah.
You definitely don't. Sometimes it makes sense.
I know, right when you think you know me, it's like, boom, I'm somebody else. And you're just like, what the F.
He's also the other one that, like, it doesn't know anything about jam music. But
yeah, I listened
somehow
to...
Somehow landed in a jam band.
You kind of don't know if he's going to be a Chevy guy or a Ford guy. You know he's got a diesel, but...
Is it a Duramax or is it an International?
Well, I customized my hood so you can't tell. And my tailgate's nice and blacked out. It's pretty sweet.
Hopped up.
Yeah, that's
357
right.
Motor.
That's Kyle's right. Just smiling over there because he's from Troy, Missouri.
Yeah.
He's like,
dude, I grabbed all those lines out of Kyle's diary.
I won't
black do that.
It's like Billy Hopkins showed up today with a Spider-Man flat bill on, and I was angry my mom didn't get me one.
Well, this is it's kind of been a long time in the making. I mean, we've talked about doing something for a while, and I'm glad it all worked out now when it did, because you guys have a ton of stuff going on. I mean, you got a lot of great shows coming up.
Very grateful.
You guys are hitting the studio. We got a lot of big things in the works.
Some festivals that we'll be hitting this summer that we can't tell you about yet.
Yeah. But you do have some great opportunity around town here to come see Circo live, including December 31st, New Year's Eve, over at 2720 Cherokee with one of my favorites, Aaron Cam and the One Drops.
Matthias and the Pirates will be there, too.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of good things about those guys.
Love those guys.
And a few different DJs, and I think a hip-hop act. Nick Fozzy, actually, I'm sure everybody knows him as an artist around town, so he'll be there performing a hip-hop set, too, which I'm pretty stoked about.
Very cool. And then you guys are hosting your own party on January 6th. This is the second annual Winter Disco at the Bootleg.
Yep, we missed the date in December because that's actually when our two-year anniversary is. And last year what we did was rented out the Focal Point, and so it was sort of like a private party. And everybody could bring their own booze and stuff like that. So it was kind of a cool way to get people out. But weren't able to land that this year. In fact, he was going to be gone during those dates, Jesse.
Yep, Florida. I got family.
Florida. So we
Florida
from the Bootleg. He's an awesome dude. Yeah, I mean, he does a lot for our band.
He does a lot for a lot of bands.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, absolutely. That's shout out to Drew Jameson.
Woo! Yes.
Jammo Presents. Check him out. But I kind of feel like he wanted it to be at the Bootleg all along anyway. So whenever I started talking to him about it, he was just really quick to accommodate, what we needed. So we have Echo Bass Quartet coming out that night, which they'll be playing right before us. And then opening up the night is Brother Francis and the Soul
Tones.
Those
guys are impressive.
It's crazy. It's like Frank Zappa evolved a little bit, and you throw in a little bit of funk.
Well, they're all learned
really
musicians.
Strange.
They're all students of music, and the way they play with such class and effortlessness is something that we really like to be around, because having that kind of musicianship around is really inspiring, and we want to give our fans and the people listening the best show possible. You know, because we know that, your dollar is a vote, and you only get so many votes, and we just want to be there to, not mess up and give you guys a great show and something you could take home with you and just be really fun.
Right.
That's our main goal.
While still improvising and kind of disconnecting from the structure,
Oh, yeah. We're definitely... half of our show is 100% improvised. And I think, that's the most beautiful thing about our music is that it's so free-form. We don't even know what we're about to play. And we all connect on a mental, almost psychic level that we mesh with the crowd.
It's sexual.
It's sexual. Yeah, we need saxophones sometimes, but we usually fill out the sound. But, oh my goodness, it's like a give and take with the crowd, and we just live for that. And I think we're really born to do that, and we're really lucky to do that with St. Louis. It's a great freaking city. We're glad to be a part of it, and we really are hungry to see the rest of the United States. So we're working really hard to bring some real good entertainment. I We've all been playing music before, and we've been learning for years.
Definitely plan on hitting the road a little bit in 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a pretty good offer on the table that he's going to be in school next summer, and it just didn't work out. But, I mean, it's something that, you know, we've had places from out of state reach out to us and stuff. At, you know, if a booking agent sees us at a show or something. So we're going to try and get something put together, and I know
it's just got to work because half of us have families and we're all aspiring to be professionals in other things because I don't know, you got to eat. yeah, so we're just trying to do what we can and just try to be renegades and work as hard as possible. And it takes time, and we've been at it for a couple years and playing individually our whole lives. So I think our stars are crossing, and we're meeting very great people that are very willing to help us. And shout out to all those people. I am horrible with names, or I'd do it.
Yeah, but here in St. Louis, we've gotten a lot of help, like I said, from Drew Jameson. And Josh Loyal has put a lot of faith into
us lately. Mike Landau over at Fat Buddha.
Yeah, Mike Landau from Fat Buddha. Everybody's always kind of
Jimmy from the Schwag. He's helped us.
Jay, I'm sure you know Jay Muma from Cicero's. Yeah. He really helped us get a start.
Yeah,
that guys in Aaron Cam. I mean,
yeah, they gave us our first show.
We played with them
our first
probably, and our very first show at Circo was with them. So it's really
sold
cool
out.
That,
yeah,
that it's coming. Yeah, it's cool. It's coming together for New Year's too. So
very nice. Yeah. That's got to be a great first show.
Yeah,
it was really inspiring.
yeah, they're all awesome dudes, awesome musicians. Yeah, and they've always hooked us up.
We won't talk about the show we had the next night.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that was awful.
It was a tavern that should have never been booked, but I'll take the blame for that.
Hey, there was...
I remember that.
We doubled the crowd by bringing one person.
Everybody's like, I saw him last night.
Yeah, we were basically just there to fucking annihilate the bartender's ears. Basically, that's all we did. But, you know, it's about learning and paying your dues. Like, you don't just wake up Elvis, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to do that, but I got all shook up.
He woke up and he was Elvis on the toilet.
I'm not that heavy, but none of us are supermodel skinny.
Yeah.
But hey, that's...
Yeah, we like to call our music Chunky Funk because we all got nice little plump... especially me, but
Jeremy likes to call it that. He's really pushing.
Yeah, Jake's still self-conscious because he gained about 20 pounds on fish tour this summer.
Round lives matter, though.
Guilty,
guys.
Yeah.
Round lives matter.
Well, you mentioned the first show. Take me back, guys. Let's give me a little backstory on this group because I've known you guys for a while. You know, just around the music scene and stuff. But I don't know a ton of the story of how Circo came to be and all this stuff. But where does all this get started for you guys?
Everybody was musicians prior. Really how Circo kind of started was Kyle and I were playing with one of our good friends, Nick Cheesecakes. And he decided at one point to, you know, kind of break things off. This was like right after we had brought Jake into the band, which was like in October-ish of 2015. And we had some shows we finished out. We actually played in Chicago with Cheesecakes. No, that was Columbia. Right before you joined. But so it just kind of happened to where we had our last show, and literally the next day we were having practice with Jesse. And then, I mean, it was literally a month, and then we played the show with Aaron Cam. But he was playing with A Brighter Side, and I think they sort of, you know, took a break. He played in Papa Smiley and the Brain Bananas years ago. I'm sure a lot of people are going to know who that is. So we all just kind of ended up coming together, and I had him in mind because I seen him rip the bass, you know, playing shows with us with his band before. And I was like, we should really bring this guy on. And, you know, every now and then we regret it, but...
Yeah, I think the first time I ever played with Jesse, he showed up two hours late. It was like 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
That was the first time you met him.
And his reason for being late was that he had just woken up. And I was like, so is this fucking guy.
Man, that was... was a weird time in my life, man, and I don't want to like get all like depressy, so we'll just be good. But ever
since then, we kind of just, this guy had like a lot of music written, Jake, and I'd say that he does write at least 70% of what we have out.
It's more right like now. 60-40 probably.
Yeah, yeah, and Kyle's the other guy who writes a lot, and you'll notice Jake's songs are a lot of times more of a composition. Kyle's songs are a composition, but Kyle always leaves a lot. Kyle's songs are always the ones that end up those 19-minute ones, like you'll probably show these guys later. But yeah, these guys are awesome at writing music. So we got about 30 originals in 2 years. So
wow,
yeah.
So we're getting there.
yeah, that's crazy. Like to think that you have all this material. I mean, you guys have been playing shows, and all of it's. Yeah, a lot of it, you said, it was on archive.org.
Yeah, search Serco Grooves on archive.org.
No, actually, it's all under Serco now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Serco nice. Grooves.
Sweet.
But to think, like, you know, you have all this, and then, like, imagine going to the studio and trying to lay this down, like, having to pick between the, like, you know, what are going to be the first 10 or something that to put on the record.
There's about 7 or 8, I think, going on the first record, which we'll start recording that here in January. And so we did pick out the 7 or 8, and it is sort of like our older stuff that, you know, kind of from when we were first a band.
The crowd, the like, people who come and see us are going to know those ones a little more.
Those ones are the more familiar songs.
But
so.
I'm already looking forward to our second album. We haven't even recorded our first one. It's just like, man, that second album is going to be so good. Like, it's really good how much material we have.
Yeah. I'm sure just about every artist can connect to that, because like you're always excited to get the stuff out, but you've been, like you're saying, you've already been playing some of these songs 2 years, you know,
right.
It's like you're ready to just get them over with and like move on to the next stuff. So it's like
some of it may never make an album.
I don't think a lot of it will even meet the album, and that'll be fun for our fans, you know, because we'll always have new stuff to surprise you with, so it's never going to get stale. I mean, we played the other night for 1 hour and we only played 3 songs and like I couldn't believe it, so I went back and listened to it and none of it got stale. So that's all you can really ask, you know, from yourself. But like the actual enjoyment of the music, it was there for me. So like it's rare for me. Like I've played a lot of bands that I just did for money and experience, and actually play with a band with music that you can connect to and really enjoy is fucking special. Because like, dude, I'm telling you, Mustang Sally and fucking Brown Eyed Girl, like that stuff gets old after a while, and it starts to make you think like, why the hell am I doing this, you know, like playing along. But like being with Serco is like, oh, that is why I am doing
this. I think that feeling's pretty mutual around too. We've been really, I feel like we've always gotten lucky like at the right times as a band, so it's weird. It just all is kind
I think
of
when you're not
for us.
When you're not into the band you're playing with, it feels like a chore.
You know,
going to band practice or even like going out to play the show for a long time, and like, you know, also if your band's not growing, then you can get bored of it and then it starts to feel like a chore, you know. So
yeah, Serco,
we've all experienced that in past bands, so it's like this is the second step for all four of us.
Yeah, this is like a super group of like local bands.
It's like the equivalent of cracking a cold one open with the boys. That's how it is coming to practice.
Right. Yeah, so we have a good time, and that comes through in the music too, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and we're definitely hypercritical of what we do at times. So, you know, we might walk off the stage and not be too happy with the show we played, but luckily, you know, also someone we haven't brought up yet, our buddy Cody Deal, who does so much for
us.
He's
our fifth wheel. For
yeah, he's the fifth member of the band. And
we invited him over tonight, but
actually,
he does,
he's the engine.
He's been real
busy.
Yeah, he built our website. He records every show.
Helps with merch.
Yeah, and he helps with the kind of our stage setup too. Brings out some goofy little props here and there,
which set the vibe, dude. That's critical.
It does,
and to have someone support you like that's really motivating.
Right.
It's like if my friends are willing to put their talents, time, and abilities and effort into what we do and like encourage us, like that's a good feeling to have.
Yeah, he's we hope to, that he'll always be around for sure. So
right.
We try to take care of him when we can. But yeah, he's been a huge part in.
And he's got he knows a lot about you know well. Live audio and stuff like that. So we're hoping to maybe gear him, and he has interest in doing some lights too. So we're hoping to maybe gear him towards a running production. Our sound because you know having your own sound guy is the key to being consistent from venue to venue.
Yeah.
So you know there's a lot of great sound guys out there in St. Louis, and we're fortunate enough to work with a lot of them. Like Brian Baird is awesome. You know he's all over, but at Atomic Cowboy a lot of the time. But yeah, just having our own sound guy who knows when what instrument is supposed to shine through at that moment, or just anything like that, you know, like sure. If it knows how it was supposed to sound compared to last night in this room,
and being and able to be at our practices too,
right?
Like, and
he knows
music.
The music, he splits our tracks when from the recorded shows, you know, so. Yeah, he knows what's going on, and then same that trickles over into the light thing too. Because if you know you need a lighting director who knows your music, that's crucial. You know, I mean the jamming, he's going to be on the fly with us. You know, and that's cool too on a whole nother level. But
yeah
you need someone.
Music
yeah, you
strong.
Need someone.
He's the one
who
that
knows.
Gets the whole floor dancing usually.
Right.
he's like the everything guy. He's awesome.
Right.
I love Cody.
Yeah. Is that So, like, when you guys start this group, has it always been that way, like, as a jam band, like, doing 19-minute songs and stuff?
We just started hitting those peaks more recently. Yeah. Like, I'd say before...
Everything was under 10, usually.
Yeah, it was usually... I'd say our longest ones were about 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Because
it's hard to keep it fresh. And
right.
You have to, like, know each other's instincts, you know? Like, you have to be like, oh, like, Jake likes to do a walk down here. Or, oh, he likes
right.
to hit a pentatonic here. Or,
yeah.
You know, like, knowing how someone solos and expresses
sure.
melody and like growing with someone and like talking the language of music with that person and being like, oh, you're jamming Dorian? Sweet. Now I know what to do with the seventh.
It's honestly like finding your way through a maze is like how it is when you're jamming, because you're just like, you just really have to, I don't know, you just listen.
Sometimes you're going to hit a dead end, but then you just kind of turn around. And
yeah, bring it back.
We've definitely fallen on our face plenty of times. You know?
Yeah, but lately, it naturally happens, too. We don't mean to go 19 minutes, you know. Next thing you know.
Right, it's definitely not
he calls
a planned
it,
thing.
It's not. I mean, it's not a term he coined or anything, but jamnesia. So, like, you'll just, like, completely forget that you're, like, you know, what song you're playing, and then you're just like, holy
yeah,
shit,
like,
we're still
we
in the middle of this song.
Right.
Yeah, we're still on the first song of our set list. Holy shit. We went to Oz and back, and then we ran into Doctor Who, and we thought he was fucking lame. And then, like, I don't know, all sorts of weird stuff happened, and now we're here, and where are we? Oh, the first song.
It's just kind of like, wow.
What?
Like fucking Owen Wilson.
Wow.
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 Wow. Wow.
That's what, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking, though, like, that it takes that, 2 years, you know, and whatever it is, you know, take some time to get to know your band and the players and where they're going and stuff to, you know, and build that trust up and stuff to where
right.
you guys can do that, can, you know, rely on each other the way you guys do now
yep.
and stuff. So, but no, I mean, that's a really a cool thing. And like you're saying, how even the jamnesia, like, you know, it's a cool thing as a fan too, like when you can kind of get lost in that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
when you can, I mean, I've heard a couple people echo the similar thing, but like how, you know, as a musician, as a band, like the ultimate goal is to get people to forget about time for
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
So like if you can, so that's for me when I'm in there and I'm watching the show, and I can kind of forget about my daily, you know, work and everything else, or you know, family or whatever it is, you know, and I can just escape for an hour or 2 hours or whatever at the show and just get lost in this music and, you know, and I'm like have a great time, like.
Yeah, we see you raging in front row at all
yeah.
kinds of shows, man.
Yeah, man. So.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah, like Kyle said, what it's about.
That's important
know?
To every fan, you
yeah.
know, like just being.
And that's
able-
another thing, too, to shout out to all of those, because it's been, like, unreal. Like, it's just been kind of a snowball effect as far as that goes. And I feel like the bigger the crowds get, the better the jams get, too, because.
We
or not even
that.
Not
so
even necessarily the bigger the crowds.
Yeah, try our
not even necessarily the bigger crowds, but the better crowds. If there's, you know, even if there's 40, 50 people there, but they're all up front dancing, that, I mean, that has a lot to do with where the jams go.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely does.
So you guys rely on that energy, the feedback, and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, so definitely.
We try to be able to bring it, you know, even if there's just 10 people there, which you're always going to have those nights, you know, at least where we're at right now. And we try to still bring it, but it's undeniable that, like, when there's a big crowd and everyone's feeling it, that we feed off of that. Because it's with the improv thing, it's so in the moment, you know, that... You're just feeding off the crowd the same way the crowd's feeding off the band, you know. So.
It's like a group meditation, like for a lack of a
honestly, word. Music to me is kind of like a meditation. That's where you absolutely. Start to forget. You know, that's why I always stress to you guys talking about listening when you play, because it's really easy when you improv to tune out and then
just think of yourself.
Start listening to yourself and what you're playing more than listening to what everyone else is playing, making sure that you know. Back to what you say, like, you know, the ear training stuff with hearing, you know, I know when Kyle's going to jump into a solo or like,
right.
You know, I know when Jeremy like drops the beat down,
or yeah,
like I switch the groove up, yeah. You know what I'm right. saying? So like,
right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we kind of were talking about some of this jamming and, some of these, 19 minute songs, and, this probably be a good spot to drop in, a song you guys recorded at the Bootleg just a couple weeks ago on December 13th called Year.
Yeah, opening for Aqueous, actually, which was our fourth time playing with those guys. And honestly, for me, they've been a huge inspiration, because from the first time we played with them in April of 2016, we were a band for 4 months, And I just saw how, like, how hard they were, you know, they worked and how much they cared about their performance. And it, honestly, like I said, it's been as cheesy as it sounds, it's been a huge inspiration to, like, how I feel. This guy, too, he put a lot of structure into my life, Jake. And that's really, I felt like, been helped with a lot with, you know, how successful we've become.
Yeah, because I saw you in Bickerstout and Cheesecake. And to see you guys then and to now, like, Kyle, you've always been a freaking guitar shredder. Like, you just, well, like, you just, like, a ripped chainsaw, you know? As Fred Durst. Yeah, dude, he does that with a guitar.
My day keeps going this way. I just might break something tonight. Yeah. Chainsaw, what? Motherfucking chainsaw.
Yeah, anyway, but Kyle's always been a but it's good to see them advance, you know. It's like going from Fred Durst to Santana, you know. It's like a sophistication level and a touch of culture, you know. And it's just like, okay, here we go.
Well, Fred Durst and Santana, that album should be coming out anytime now.
Yeah,
waiting on that one.
I was hoping
it has the remix.
Rob Thomas was not doing it. Santana, he had
Durst. That's good. I can see that happening too. That's disgusting.
So we mentioned wanting to get into the studio to record. And you guys have some time booked for January, is that right?
Yeah, we're going to head over to Fat Buddha. We actually played the St. Louis World's Fair for Mike Landau this summer. And, you know, for payment, we accepted studio times. I'm just kidding. For studio time, so we're going to start it there. And I'm actually hoping that we'll finish it there because they have...
They've done some pretty big albums.
So. Yeah, Studio A is really nice, and I also feel like they're just on a personal level, like, really easy to work with.
Yeah,
and they offered us a good deal to stay after we used the, you know, the free time too. So I think that we'll probably get most of it hammered out there. Yeah. Don't know who's going to mix or master it just yet, but
we'll find the right guy. Is that something like? You know, when you guys going in there, I mean, you think it'll be wound up being a lot of the. Well, the improv that you guys do in your show?
It's going to be a trimmed down version, but we're going to definitely
Because we want to keep our live show special. We don't want to blow our load on an album. We want to, like...
I still think it'll hit 7 or 8 minutes on some, whereas the song's probably, like, 4 minutes.
Right.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I do like, some of the jam bands that you have an album version, and that's kind of like, I mean, you talk to anybody that like a Deadhead or anybody that, you know, they'll cite like, oh yeah, I like this version of it or whatever, or, you know, like, because there's so many different live versions of bootlegs that have been out there and all this different stuff. So there's like 20, 30 different versions of one song and stuff. So
that's like, exactly what we're like. We never play the song the same way twice, ever, especially live. Like live. It's just like, okay, what are we feeling from the crowd? Okay, we're going to do this for 19 minutes.
So, yeah, there will be some improv at the studio, too, because our jams will be what we're feeling right then. And we may do a few takes or something. But, I mean, we kind of want to have... I feel like we want to have some of that element on there, but it's not going to be to that extreme.
Right.
So we'll trim it down. We'll probably know how many measures it's going to be before we, you know, go into it.
Sure. But,
so it'll be a little bit different. I don't think it'll...
It's going to be easy because all of our songs are going to be in C major.
Makes my job easy.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Well, Cam's the same way. I mean, we were talking about those guys and... you know, on the record, they got horns and they got, you know, and different things.
Yeah, their newest album is incredible. Yeah. If you haven't heard it yet, you're not from St. Louis.
Yeah, Feed the Meter. Pick up Feed the Meter, man.
Pick up all the other ones.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, they're all fantastic. But, but that's what's fun about that. Like, they have this record and it's incredible, but their live show maybe not always reflects. I mean, they'll play some of those songs, but they're different versions of them and things. But I like what they do sometimes. They'll have, like, special occasion shows, like, where... They'll get Funky Butt horns to sit in and play and stuff.
Right.
So, like, you get those different things, like those different elements where you actually get a little closer to the record and stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've thought about that with some of our studio stuff, too. Like, you know, something where maybe some percussion would be cool or, like, a harmonica or a saxophone, you know. Or, yeah, anything like that.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's going to be cool, too, because none of us have much experience going into the studio. But, yeah, we're going to have fun kind of seeing what we can use to spice the songs up a little bit in there. Yeah, maybe add some stuff that typically we wouldn't be able to do as well in a live setting. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a, I think that's the biggest thing. It's just it's a playground, man. It's your opportunity to experiment and have some fun with it and see what you can do in there.
Yeah, because
how possible is endless.
Right. Yeah, I possibly am looking into an army of didgeridoos, like 50,000 didgeridoos.
Just connect them all and just play it from outside the studio. Right.
And
yeah.
then we could have more and less blankets at the same time, and we will be good.
also going into 2018, like I said, you guys are going to start the year off with your winter disco over at the Bootleg on January 6th, but you also are throwing another after party on February 16th. You guys can be found at the Halo Bar right after Joe Russo's Almost Dead at the Pageant.
Yeah, yeah, that'll
Joe
be
Joe Russo is one of my all-time favorite drummers, so it's going to be really cool. We got to do the after party for Trey Anastasio there too.
That was great, yeah.
And it was just a really good time, and they've been trying to get us back ever since, and finally a show. You know, at the pageant, you have everything, so you may play like once a year or something there, because whatever band that you like swelling through or whatever, but yeah.
I think that's a pretty, I mean, obviously, it's a cool deal because, like, one, you guys, I mean, as fans, I mean, you get to go to the show for free when you play that deal. Yeah. So that's cool for you guys to get to, as fans of music, get to watch one of your favorites. And then you play afterward, and you hopefully get to introduce that fan base to yours, you know, to your music and stuff. And look what, you know, we kind of fall in there too. And
and they take care of you too. Like, it's really cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Wish we could do it every show, but like I said, it's not all shows would it make sense.
Yeah. I was there, just a bit ago, Gorilla Theory played right after Dirty Heads. And it was such a good time, but it meshed so well. I mean, their genres are very similar. Right. So it was such a they just continued right over the party, kept the party rolling. So,
yeah,
you know, it was pretty
it's always
nice.
Good.
Yeah. So hopefully there'll be a similar vibe that night too for you guys. Keep everybody partying. So
yeah, that's how it was after Trey. It was insane.
Yeah,
right.
That was like our favorite show.
Yeah,
right.
And that was back in like May, I think.
Yeah, it was May.
Beginning of May.
Yeah. But you can find all this, all these dates and everything more at circogrooves.com.
Oh yeah.
You can check out the website, Cody, right?
Deal Media Tribe.
Yeah, shout out to Cody for all his hard work doing that. And you can also keep up with Circo through Facebook and Instagram.
And Twitter, which you may not really keep up with us from there. but it's just hard for me to manage.
We're good on Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram is good at times. and then, I mean, we got stuff on YouTube and archive.org. Sure.
Yeah, follow the YouTube channel for sure. We got a lot of good videos on there.
For sure.
Boobs are pretty cool.
Yeah, boobs. no net neutrality. we want our boobs.
That's a bumper sticker, man. Yeah.
We're teased around here.
It's got, like, net neutrality with a thing, like...
Boob.
Yeah.
Sure, dude. Just like, what?
Yeah, we'll just go with that. I keep like staring at this microphone instead of like staring at you in the face when we talk. I'm just like,
I think it picks up better when you stare.
Right. Yeah. It is funny how many people like will wave at it when, you know, like, hey, how you doing? I'm, you know, and like, you don't have to wave at it. Nobody.
Hey. Did you hear me waving, guys?
Right.
Yeah. It's a shame you can't hear how people are.
I did. you guys mentioning YouTube and some videos and stuff. Is that you guys ever want to do like official music videos, or do you guys just like?
I definitely think it will get to that.
Yeah.
Cody does a lot of video editing stuff.
He's got green screen. So we'll probably throw something up. I don't know if it's going to be like us standing there with like super tight pants on. Well, just like honestly, if that ever happens, this is what I picture in my head, is some really detailed, like weirdness, colorful trippiness going on. I don't know what it would be, but yeah, just to kind of give you an idea. Ideas, inside my head. So
all he likes screensavers.
Yeah. Just just put on fucking Windows 98 flying through space.
Yeah, we're good. But anyway, the best way to talk about our video future is we haven't met that person yet. So if you're into videos, contact Serco. We would love to work with anyone that does any kind of creative video stuff. So if you're listening and you like doing video editing and like working with four psychos, then
look, Cody's listening from the next world over. He's like, dude, I do that too.
Yeah, Cody does all that stuff. But any sort of,
seriously,
you're into the music and want to work with us, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, man,
we're always looking for people who want to share
their gifts, you know.
That's so, right.
That's
creative input.
Sharing our music really is what I meant by that. But
that's one of the things I do love about this community we've built here in St. Louis now. I mean,
it's amazing.
Seems like, let alone the bands, the jamming together, the, you know, the collaborations and different things we have going on, but there's we got a lot of, you know, physical art, a lot of live art going on in the shows. We got people that want to make videos. We got photographers. We got all these people that want to help just collaborate and make some cool stuff happen. And so, like,
it's an amazing network for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
It really is.
Yeah, St. Louis has a good. It's a great scene too, because it's.
It's a hard one to win over.
But you know, the cool thing about St. Louis is like, there's a lot of great musicians here, and people, so that gets people into seeing live music. And then, as opposed to maybe somewhere like Denver or Boulder or, you know, places out on the east, it's like, it's a little less saturated with this kind of music. So it allows you to be able to shine through a little bit more and show people what you're working on. You know,
there's a lot of opportunity.
You're not competing against, you know, 50, 60 different bands. And you know, the national acts are cool. We're lucky enough through some of our friends, you know, like you mentioned, Drew and Josh, who've been able to get us on with some pretty cool bands that we all really enjoy and especially enjoy to play with.
Yeah.
But, it's been great, honestly.
Yeah.
Is there one that you guys collectively been waiting for the opportunity to open for or something like that? Is there somebody that out there still that you want to...
Miley Cyrus
would be freaking sweet, man.
We've been hitting up Ed Sheeran, and he's been ducking us. It said scene on the Facebook Messenger, so I'm not too happy about that.
Realistically, I'd like to eventually play a show with Dopapod.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Dopapod.
They're one of my favorite bands ever, so that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, and we get to play with Aaron Cam a lot, so it's just like, it's not like we don't get to see amazing people. You know,
sure.
And his bass player and drummer, like, his drummer is so
Sean Reyes. Yeah.
Sean is a
he's literally one of my favorite drummers ever. Like, not just locally, he's one of my favorite drummers ever.
Yeah. He's ridiculous. Shout out to Sean, just got engaged.
Congratulations, Sean.
Yeah, very exciting stuff for him. Yeah, I love those guys. I've become, you know, buddies with those three guys over the years, and they're just, let alone like one of my favorite bands, but great dudes too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're
fun to party with.
Yeah,
uh-huh. I've seen the sun come up with those dudes a few times, thanks to Haney. He's like their guy.
Yeah, Haney's great.
Yeah, they're a big part of why I wanted to go work at Oyster Bar, just to be around the music all the time.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you're just a working man.
Oh yeah, that's what they call me, the working man,
the hardest working man.
Well, very cool. Well, guys, this has been awesome getting to share some of these stories. But again, you can find everything at circogrooves.com. Get involved with these guys. We've got a lot of big things happening. 2018 is going to be a big year for these guys.
You'll see an hour.
And you guys, too. When you come out to New Year's and our winter disco, you guys will have a great time, too. There's a lot of great people there. We're building a great network of people that are all amazing, and that will all blow your minds with their coolness, because there's at least like two people I meet at every show. It's like, dude, you're fucking a
I'm going to throw this out there, too, just because I can. But the first two people to message me, this is Jeremy, or message the Serco page, we'll do that. First two people to message the Serco page that listen to this, give us a shout and we'll put you on the guest list for Winter Disco.
Yeah,
cool.
Yep.
That's a good deal.
And then the next two, I'll buy you a drink or something, just so you don't lose.
Everyone else that doesn't get it, I'm probably just going to not even notice, so whatever.
All right, well, thank you guys. And
thank you, man.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us just talk over you the whole time. I apologize.
makes my life a lot easier. I like when I don't have to do much work. I can just hang back and listen.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
Cool. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Signing out.
Thank you.
Thank you. AJ.
All right, we're going to have a friend of ours sit in on the guitar. I hope you don't mind. He kind of... But I'm warning you, he might shred your face off. So, fair warning.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.